Good morning, and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Here's our assignment from yesterday. What we realize is that the suffering in any content area is caused by the karma, not the content. However, we're conditioned to frame it around the content. Your assignment: choose a behavior change that addresses the karmic bamboozle, not the content issue. Make sure you choose something that is within the focus for the month and can be practiced for a week. For example, do a two-handed recording daily with the person who wants to live in a fit and healthy body. Make a commitment poster that states your behavior change. Make a recording that, one, refutes the self-hating messages, and two, replaces the conditioned conversation with what you choose instead.
Lovely.
All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rita.
Hello, Rita.
Hey.
What are you seeing?
Well, I decided to have, or like what dropped in, was to have a conversation each day with the expert who's not only adequate but adept at taking care of this human. And reading the signs of the body and making really helpful choices based on that.
Aha. Sounds like kind of a mentor.
Yeah. So then, like, conditioning came up and was like, well, is that the mentor, like, or is that something else? And, like, who's the person that starts? Like, which hand do you start in? And, like, blah, blah, blah. Well, anyway, like, that conversation doesn't matter at all. But
that is not the conversation we want to have every day.
Yeah. Like, what I've been seeing is basically that I've been very successfully, like, doing all sorts of different fitness activities, but, like, to no credit of conditioning, who's been making it, like, stealing the joy and the play out of the activities. And
yeah.
I'm still doing it, but I'm just sort of being robbed of the fact that I really love doing it. And when
well,
I can see that...
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the whole deal, isn't it? It has been able to rob you. But since what we're doing is awareness practice, you are now seeing that and in that place where you could go with the conversation and be robbed, or you could realize, wait a minute. I like this. I want to do this. I enjoyed it. And then the attention moves to appreciation and gratitude and enjoyment and all of those things that are possible for us.
Yeah, exactly. So what was happening, or like what I saw, was that I was being told that I wouldn't make the choice if it was like left to my own devices. I wouldn't make the choice to do the activity. But I am left to my own devices, and I am doing the activity. Like, it's happening. Like,
yes. And you're proving to yourself that you don't need to be watched and controlled and disciplined in order to take care of yourself. That's what you're proving to yourself, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that in itself is joyful.
Yes. Absolutely.
Isn't that good? We don't have to do anything to be joyful. We just need to stop doing all of the things that are stealing the joy.
Yes. Yeah. And I've been having a really interesting experience because I got tossed out of participating, doing some of the assignments in the play months And so I just decided that, like, I wasn't going to give up on this human. I was going to go back and go through some of those assignments.
There you go.
And lo and behold, like, with the first one, I saw the same insights coming up as I was having with fitness. And this similar relationship between, like, relationship with adequacy. And so... But what it was telling me was, like, I couldn't play because I needed to be sort of, like, at attention so that I could participate in spiritual practice and I would, like, be able to take care of myself and do those things when actually the spiritual practice is being with life.
Exactly.
and so I sort of came up with, like, a tandem assignment for the month, which is that every day after, or, like, in addition to this conversation, during the practice month, I'm going to record one way that I've seen that day I've been able to take care of myself or participate in practice by letting go into life.
Aha. Uh-huh. Ah, that's beautiful. And it's that, I can't remember. We were trying to talk about it at group last night, and none of us could remember the assignment from yesterday, but Ashwini will remember it, about what we're looking for is in the karmic conversation. It's, and we just have to recognize it for what it is, which is what you're describing. That was very bulky and awkward the way I said it, but that
yeah.
is the experience that you're having. Everything that you were looking for was right there in the karma, hidden in plain sight, and now you're present so that the clarity is dropping in and it's coming together for you.
Yeah. And I noticed that when I was doing assignment about what each subpersonality says, they each had a different way of restricting their breathing, and that when I sort of was, so it kind of all came back to the breath and that the way of, like, coming into presence and noticing where I am and being able to fall into life began with the breath, and then I was, like, immediately present. And I know it's something that comes up a lot in practice, but it was just so cool that life dropped in this tool that I could sort of immediately use that had nothing to do with the conversation in my head.
Yes, yes. And that's the beauty of practice, isn't it? We hear it, we hear it, we hear it, we hear it, and then it drops in at just exactly the right moment, and it's that, I get it. Thank you, yes, I get it. All right, well, you keep having a good time, okay?
I will, thank you.
All right, thank you, Rita.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Rita. I think we got the assignment right, Cherry. The karmic conversation holds the key, but it directs us to what it's not rather than what is so. And we've got to learn to look at it from here rather than from the condition, from simply what it's saying in order to recognize the truth of what is, not what is not.
Uh-huh. Thank you. I knew you would get us there.
Well, and to me, that's...
Night,
that's
a, you were in group two.
I was in
so
group two. Yeah. So that's, to me, that conversation truly illustrated that, right? Because I think Risa was saying, what I do is those activities, but I don't feel the joy of doing them, even though I love to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the conversation has the answer, which is I'm in the conversation, not in the activity.
Or the joy.
That's right. And so then I go into, it's so hard for us to comprehend that everything is a process. Joy is a process. Love is a process. The conversation of suffering plays a process. And so every process, is something that I can access with attention. And what trips me is the conversation or the belief that somehow or the other being in that process has a feeling tone, which if I'm not experiencing, makes it hard for me to feel like I'm in it.
Yeah, makes it wrong somehow.
Yeah, but that experience of not feeling the way I should feel implies I'm in a conversation about it, not in the experience of it. And when we catch on to that, there's such a world of freedom.
Mm-hmm. And Reese's way in was the breath.
Yes.
Right? That drops in to attend to the breath. And then, poof, there's presence. There's the whole, now I feel it.
Well, and also that place of talking to the person who knows, or in other words, we have ways of accessing the process by talking to the person, within quotes, right, who knows how to be in the body or loves the activity. But that's just a way for us. It's sort of like a handle to access the process of love and the process of joy, which is not a person, but an experience and awareness.
Yeah.
Very nuanced.
It really is. And again, that's why we keep talking about it. Because it's really subtle. And what we're going for are those moments when, I get it.
Yeah.
Now we recognize it. Now we know what we're looking for.
Yeah. And we don't have to really figure it out. You know,
Not at all.
All these frameworks just point to expressions of the experience. And then we have the experience. So what if we can't articulate it? Or articulate it in inaccurate ways, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, very fun.
Very fun.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Sherry in San Francisco.
Good morning, Sherry. What are you
happy
seeing?
Happy to be here. And I'm
happy to be here.
I am happy to be here. And I have been looking at something very similar, which is that when I'm not paying attention, I get bamboozled into thinking that this body is here just to serve ego's list of things to do. So that fitness becomes, you need to be fit because then you'll feel better, and then you can do all
be able to do what I tell you to do.
That's exactly it. So it's been so really helpful over the last few days to really just keep asking the question, what does the body want? What feels good? And I know this is just goes back to what you guys were just saying, right? We need to hear it a million times because you guys always say this, right? What feels good? What feels good? And
I'm really, Sherry, if I may, what feels good, not to ego?
Yes, of course.
Right? But what feels good to presence? And
that's
where the body lives, is in presence. What's kind? Mm-hmm.
Right. And I recently had this wonderful opportunity. I was traveling and the place where I was staying had this free yoga class. And he did like this, instead of like a kind of usual yoga class I've had, he said, well, let's go for a walk. It was a very beautiful place. And we walked by the water. Every once in a while, he'd stop. And just for a minute or two, we'd just do a yoga stretch outside. And it wasn't a push. It wasn't an effort. And he'd just say, you can love your body in these very small amounts of time. And I love that, right? That it's just sort of, it's not like, okay, go to dance. So you got to get some cardio in, you know. I mean, I will go to dance. I will do the other things. But it's like, I stepped outside this morning. I was like, I'll just do a little stretch, you know, like that.
We were talking about that recently. With someone who said, you know, when you're waiting in line at the grocery store, why aren't we all doing yoga stretches? Why aren't we running in place? Because this would be a perfect opportunity to get a little a little enjoyment of physical movement in, instead of we're all trained to just stand there like little wooden soldiers waiting to be told the next thing we should do.
Yeah, or I heard someone, it might have even been here or it might have been somewhere else, but I've been doing this too, like when I'm brushing my teeth, just stand on one leg, you know, and switch back and forth because it feels good to practice balance. And I'm brushing my teeth anyway, right? I mean, you got those couple minutes. So
that's right.
Things like that. And I feel like just what you guys were just saying, I feel like my body's like, oh, I like this. This is fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other obvious element is that you have to be present, because we're not conditioned to practice standing on one leg when we're brushing our teeth. What we're
right.
conditioned, at least what I was conditioned to, was this is a time to go off and think about what's next or you know, what didn't get done during the day, or depending on, you know, is this a morning brush, an evening brush, right? And so it's a time not to be present. And what we're bringing into this is a time to be present. And everything in the system loves that.
Yes. And, you know, one more thing before I go. That just reminded me, I don't know which year-long retreat it was, but there was one where we were practicing taking care. And I think I don't know if everyone was, but using brushing my teeth as a way to, like, love caring for these teeth. And, like, wow, teeth, you know, look what you do for me every day. And, you know, and I think bringing that, all of that is part of fitness, really. Like, it's loving and caring for the body.
Yeah.
So I love that. I just dropped in. That caring. It's a caring.
You too. Yeah.
That's it. So thank you. I just absolutely love these morning calls. I'm so grateful to you guys and Sangha. It's been an amazing year, and it keeps going.
And it keeps going. Yes. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
In fact, we're getting ready for another focus. What? Now?
I know.
Very
I know.
Exciting.
Deepak Chopra. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sherry.
Go happy.
Yeah, I will.
I'm just loving that insight that shows up over and over again, at least in this realm for me, in the realm of fitness, which is the ability to take small bites of fitness rather than it requires 30 minutes of cardio at the gym, or if I don't walk for an hour or don't make my 10,000 steps, or don't go for an hour-long yoga class, it doesn't count. But that busting the notion of time as a measure of value of anything.
Yeah, because the way you lay that out, I mean, it's obvious where my attention is. Was that enough? Did I do good? Did I meet the standard? Will I not be punished now? Can I relax and enjoy something because all the boxes got checked? Am I a good person? And the answer is going to be no, right? Because ego is not interested in giving us that yes, you're a good person feedback.
Yeah, and what Sherry was talking about, the other Sherry, that place of if I did one down dog, my body's happy. But but according to ego, until I do the whole of my sun salutation sequence and exercise the entire flow of a 1 hour class, it isn't good enough, right?
Yeah.
And that's the dichotomy we're looking at and going, oh, well, I just stretched my muscles. That's good. That's good in this moment.
And the standard is such. So in a given week, how many times might I be able to drop down and do a down dog versus how many times am I going to go to a yoga class?
Yes. Yes.
And I
because
think that's such a big factor in the how ego controls us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lucinda.
Hello, Lucinda.
Hi. So in this focus, what dropped in partway through, maybe after 10 days or something, I was riding my bike, and I was noticing, well, for some reason, I don't know if this happens to other people, my music started playing. Like, it's in my pocket, my cell phone, and the music started playing. And
yes.
And it was Scheherazade. It was the symphony, Scheherazade. And I noticed as I was writing, I slowed down when I heard the music. And, you know, came present. And I realized, uh-huh. even though I was joyful on my bike ride and having a great time, I wasn't present.
Oh.
Because when I heard the music, I slowed down and it opened. Everything opened, like the appreciation and my vision and my awareness. Boy. So there's a place for me where exercise turns into a manic thing. More joy, uh-huh. more joy, more joy, you know.
That is, and so, that is subtle, Lucinda. That is subtle, because you were having a good time.
I was having a good time, yes.
Mm-hmm. But you
it
weren't
makes
really
me think,
there.
No. And in homeopathy, there's a remedy, coffee, for the feeling.
What is the remedy?
It's the remedy made from coffee.
Oh, uh-huh.
So it's a similar feeling, like, yes, you're joyful, but, you know, everyone can tell you're a little, you know, a little on the speedy side or something.
Yeah, well, and a little self-absorbed.
Yes, yes, right.
Right.
Absolutely,
and that would be
yes.
The small self of ego.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. Ego is getting what it wants, or it's in charge. It's got the energy, so it's happy
yeah.
with what's happening. Yeah.
Yes.
That's very subtle.
Somewhere it shifts, because it doesn't start
mm-hmm.
out that way.
Right.
Somewhere it shifts. And then
that's what you're going to be watching for, right?
Yes. Well, what I mm-hmm. thought might be a good behavior change was walking for a week. Because, you know, you can hurry walking, but chances are you're going slower than usual, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, because the point is walking, right? The
yes.
point is not walking to get somewhere, but the point wasn't
right.
riding your bike to get somewhere either, right? So that's going to be interesting to see how ego tries to take over walking.
Well, you know, there is always getting somewhere as part of it, because then you turn around and go back. I mean, it's not like, you know, I mean,
it's forever.
Like, I'm going to get there. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So it was a very plump realization when that
mm-hmm.
music started playing, and I saw I was self-absorbed.
Yeah, we are
for
so
sure.
We are so cared for, aren't we? When we learn
yes.
to recognize it, we are so. It's like, wow, how does that kind of thing happen?
Oh. Yeah. Yes.
What a miracle!
It was
the music.
It was a
playing.
Miracle. I don't know what I would have done if it was Tom Petty or something, you know.
Well, you would have had that experience.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Linda.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Go happy.
Bye-bye. Go happy.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lucinda. I love that word, plump realization. And
yeah,
very quickly,
me too.
Before we go on to the
quoter.
Mm-hmm. I know that two things you said, Sherry, I think just worth underlining before we move on to our next caller. But the one, which is
feeling good is not necessarily equivalent to being present. Mm-hmm. It is so important to get that. Just because I'm not suffering does not mean that I am here. And two, and two, that place which we I think we were exploring in that call is the difference between attention, mindfulness, and expanded awareness. That it is possible to be attentive and here to something, but not necessarily be present to everything. And that's what we play with all the time.
The difference with the, sometimes you'll talk about it as collapsed awareness, which is one experience, but there's also a focused attention that, and, you know, we don't have to have any judgments about any of this. It's just different states to be aware of. So there's a focused attention, but is that the same as present? And that, of course, is the experience that Lucinda has, where suddenly the awareness expands enough to realize that actually I wasn't here. Not capital, uppercase here. I might have been lowercase here.
Yeah, and that's just to record those, the shifts of attention on awareness as a way to notice what I'm present to. All right, we have time for one more caller. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Ashwini. Good morning, Sherry. This is Deepa from Novato.
Well, good morning, Deepa. What are you seeing?
First, I'm here with Q practice. So forgive me if my heart just bounced off across the kitchen floor. But I'm here to report practice success, for which I am so, so grateful. And it goes back to the conversation you just had maybe a caller ago, which is this the karmic bamboozle being, I have to make a grand gesture. So anything, exercise or with self-care or anything has to be this big thing or just don't bother doing it at all. And and I've heard you say so many times over this retreat that who is setting those standards? Who is setting those standards? And finally, practicing or staying with it has really shown something to me which has been so startling in the best way, which is just the 10-minute yoga practice in the morning, done over 6 weeks, which I've been doing with soon after virtual meditation, which I've also been doing without break, and I'm so thrilled by that, is now just become not a point for conversation anymore. I just do And I'm still so surprised that has been possible.
Even though I bet you have for a long time been really good at brushing your teeth. Right? Which is, that's not, you know, we do those kinds. There are so many things that we do, we could almost say religiously, in the sense that they're non-negotiables. It is just what we do. So those voices would not even attempt to come in and talk us out of them because they're sacrosanct. We are not going to be talked out of that, so there's no sense in having the conversation. And what you're pointing at that is critical is that you have now moved these practices of being present into that same position in your life where we're not having conversations with ego about this. This is just what I do. This is who I am. End of story.
I hear this, Sherry, and the conversation that does come afterwards is that, oh, I hope this lasts. Oh, my gosh.
That's right. Yes, setting the stage for the moment when it's going to be able to talk you into quitting.
Right.
That's right. That's what it's doing. It's just planting that seed of possibility. And we just go, yeah, well, we'll see. Because this is, to me, the I don't know. You know, there are about 10,000 essential pieces of practice, right? But one of them way up there toward the top is, I will never quit on this human. Mm-hmm. So I may get talked into, I may be bamboozled about all kinds of things. And those will be learning opportunities for me. Those will be the points of greater clarity. But whatever happens, I'm going to be right back here, present with this human being as fast as I can get here. So you can hope, voice in my head, negative voice in my head, that you'll be able to talk me into quitting these practices for a period of time. But all that will result from that is that I will come back with a deeper, stronger commitment.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sherry. And I know we're running out of time, but just you saying that with so much compassion every morning to the whole Sangha is, if Sherry can have this much compassion for me, why can't I have that much compassion for myself? So
that's
not,
right.
Not to let go of this human is a daily reminder, thanks to you and this So I'm very, very grateful. Thank you.
You are so welcome. I there is so much in that. But that is the whole deal, isn't it? That we experience that compassion and we recognize it. We know at the deepest level, yeah, that is who I am. That is my heart. That's where I'm practicing living all the time. It's gorgeous. Thank you, Deepa.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, Deepa. And Jerry, that brings us to the end of the show and our assignment for today. Oops. Beginning today, your daily practice will be to 1, start your day by listening to your recording from day 20, and 2, practice your behavior change, and 3, record what you notice at the end of the day.
Love it. The best.
Love it. Okay, so that's our...
Thank you, Ashwini.
And we'll see everybody on Monday.
Yes. Oh, that's right. It's Friday. Oh, my gosh. Everybody, heads up. Friday the 13th, full moon. Okay? All of us with a tendency to be crazy, close attention.
Okay.
Thanks, Ashwini. Bye-bye.
Take care, Sherry. Bye-bye.